Hey, this is Deontay the Bronze Bomber Wilder, WBC heavyweight champion of the world, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. Bam, baby. Good night.
All right, we are back coming to you live from New York, as we get ready the kickoff of International Fight Week. Diego Sanchez,
thank you. Hey, what's up, Ratty man? It's good to be here. We're having a great week. It's been I couldn't believe it. You know, I'm going into the Hall of Fame on Friday, fighting on Saturday, and just so much momentum going into this fight. And now I'm here with you, and I find out that you're blocked on my Twitter. I'm like, what? I'm about to like call Twitter and be like, what's up, Twitter? You know, and then on top of that, you know, like I unblock him and follow him and do a tweet about him, and he's still blocked.
So we got to figure it out.
We got to
first and foremost thank you for fixing that. You know, small things, but it bothered me. It's like I've never.
I was happy that you approached me about it right away, like because, you know, I don't remember if or why or you know, but I do remember there was a time when I was before IG blew up. And I was doing the Twitter thing, and I just remember like I had my way. Like if someone did anything like negative or like I was like no negative energy in my circle. If people are gonna be a hater or say something like something bad about me, I'm like no, blocked.
And that's good. Blocked, I don't have a problem with that. But that's not me, and you'll.
That wasn't you, and we got that squared away.
So. All right. First and foremost, congratulations on going into the Hall of Fame. What did it feel like when you got the phone call? And obviously, long overdue because this is one of the greatest fights of all time. Not to take anything away from all of your other fights that probably could go into the Hall of Fame as well.
Yeah. No. It's great. You know, getting the call was awesome. I thought for sure that the first fight that they would put in of mine would be me versus Gilbert Melendez. And I personally think that still like that was a better fight, even a better fight than the Guida fight, like just a better fight, like back and forth, you know, like I drop him and, you know, he bloodies me. And I thought it was more back and forth. You know, the passion was, it was crazy. It was crazy. But no, this was an awesome fight too, you know, and being able to fight Clay Guida, the monster, the little monster that he was. And you know, me and him ended up being good friends after this fight. So tons of respect and towards him. And it was one of those fights where this fight was a TV fight. It was on Spike TV. And at this time in the sport of mixed martial arts and the progression of the sport, where there was a lot of people that watched this fight. And it was their first time watching mixed martial arts. And for the following 10 years, I would have a lot of people come up to me and be like, Diego, that one fight with you and Guida, like, come on, you got to fight another one like that. And that's the fight that got me into MMA. So, you know, that as far as being a pioneer fight, I know it was a pioneer fight that got a lot of people into mixed martial arts, and I am a pioneer of the sport, and so, you know, it was the right fight to go in, and I'm happy with it.
What does it mean to you? I know you love to fight, but that people love to watch you fight. You know, when people look at cards, they look at certain names, and I'm tuning in, I'm going to, and that always happens when they see your name.
Well, you know, I think it all comes down to just who I am. And people know that when I get in there, I fight every fight like it's my last. And I had some times where I made some mistakes in some fights, and I didn't fight that fight like it was my last fight. And I just, you know, got the hiccup, got the mindset wasn't where it needed to be going in there to fight. So I didn't show up. I didn't show up the way I should have showed up. And so knowing that, I was able to fix that and reprogram my mind to where whenever I fight, I truly go in there like a real warrior, like, you know what, this could be my last fight of my life. Like, I don't, you know, I really like have that mindset of, you know, you could be, you know, you never know, you could be in a car accident or something could happen, like, you could get sick, or, you know, just that mindset that, like, you know what, Diego, you need to really appreciate the opportunities that you have more. And so when you do get the opportunity to fight in the UFC, you gotta fight this fight like as if it is your last day on this planet. Like make it count. And so that's what I did, and that's what I continue to do. And people recognize that. People recognize that I'm not a fighter who's just in there for the fame. People recognize that I'm not a fighter who's just fighting for the win. I'm fighting for, like, when I get in there, I'm fighting for my freaking life. Like, I'm fighting, like, for everything, my legacy, my everything. Like, dude, you're going to have to freaking get a knife and cut my chest open, pull my heart out of my body, and then you're going to have to get, like, one of those big anvil hammers and, like, smash it. Then you're going to have to get the pieces, put it in a blender, blend it. Then you're going to have to get, like, some acid, put some acid on it. And, like, it's gonna be really hard to put this heart out. And so that's the type of fire, the type of fuel that I go into every fight with. And so, you know, people know that I'm a real fighter. I'm one of the last few, you know, like there's real fighters out there still. And it's you know, there's not as many as there used to be, but there still is some real fighters out there. And the ones that are they deserve to get the recognition. The recognition that they've earned by doing what they've done.
Something that I definitely want to give you recognition on. You mentioned legacy, legend, legacy, all that stuff. I think is one of the most overused words. Everybody's a legend when they're not, and it's disrespectful to legends. But your legacy, when I did a little bit of research, is the, and I don't know if you want to call it a fight or the match against Isaac Marquez.
Marquez, yeah.
I think that means everything, you know, what you did and how you did it. And I'd like you to talk about that, you know, a minute.
Yeah, you know, see, you know, things happen in life. Opportunities are presented to you, to me. And sometimes we let things pass us by without even knowing or acknowledging what is happening. And you know, and that opportunity is gone, and it's like you know, like a breath of air, you know, it's like a gust of the wind, and you know, it's in the past, and it's gone and done. Well, this time when Isaac Marquez, you know, he was just a young, you know, he's not young, he's 32 years old, but, you know, he has the spirit of a young man, you know. And he walked into the gym, and I see this guy, he's Down syndrome man, little small guy, man, he's about maybe 4'5", 4'6", little tiny guy. He's on the edge of the mat. He's got his toes. His toes are 2 inches from the mat. And I see this little guy, and he's just standing there. And, you know, I'm training for a fight. I got Ally Aquinta coming up, and I got this big fight coming up, and I got 2 weeks to train for it. And I see this little guy. He's just staring into the, he's basically like staring into the nothingness of nothing. He's just right there, inches from the mat. And I see him there for, you know, 20 minutes. He's just standing there. Nobody comes to talk to him. Nobody even says anything to him. I'm like, nah, man. I was like, all right, I'm gonna go say hi to this little guy. Like, I'm at least just go introduce myself and say hello. I walk up to him, and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm Diego. I'm a fighter. You know, I was like, you like fighting? He's like, I love UFC. I'm like, oh, you love UFC? Right on. I said, I fight in UFC. He said, I love UFC. I was like, all right. Well, do you just love watching? Or do you want to try to train? He's like, I wanna train. And so I'm like, all right, well then come on. Let's take your shoes off. Let's get on the mat. Let's come on. You got some shorts. Let's get on the mat. And all along, I'm just going with the flow. I'm not understanding what is happening. I'm not trying to plan anything or think anything. Literally, I'm just, you know what? There's a little guy. He looked sad. He looked depressed on the edge of the mat. No one was giving him the time of the day to even go. You know, you got all these professional fighters in Jackson's, and they're all in their zone, in their mode. Everybody's focused on themselves and what they got to do for their training, and no one gave a shit. So, you know, and I was like, all right, you know what? I'm gonna go up to this guy. I'm gonna at least say hello, give him a little love, and he came. I said, come on, get on the mat. Let's train then. All right, you want to train? You say you want to train? All right. I told him, hey, fighting ain't easy. So at this point in my mind, I'm like, all right, I see this guy. He's a little bit overweight. He got his belly protruding from his stomach because he eats terrible. You know, he's
talking about him or me?
Him.
Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah. At this point, he had probably about 2-3 inches on you.
Okay.
And so like, yeah, he's just out of shape, man, and I know these Down syndrome human beings, they don't live as long as normal human beings, and I'm just thinking, like, well, if I can inspire this guy to be a little healthier, then I'm going to impact his life, and I'm going to change his life in a positive way. All right. So I'm like, all right, come on, let's do some stretching, let's see where you're at, let's see what you can do, you know. And the guys, you can't barely touch past his knees. I mean, the guy is so stiff and just, man, the guy's a terrible. I'm like, and then he tells me, he's like, I'm gonna be a fighter. And he's like, I want to be a fighter, I want to fight. And I was like, oh, you want to be a fighter? I was like, you know what it takes to be a fighter? I said, you gotta work hard, you gotta never quit, you gotta train hard, you gotta work hard, you gotta sweat, you gotta drink water, and you gotta eat salads, and I said, you gotta eat like a fighter. Yeah, I said, what do you eat? I said, what do you eat, Isaac? He goes, hot dog, chips. And Coke. I'm like, I look at him, I'm like, you're not a fighter. I was like, fighters don't eat that crap. That's garbage. I said, that's garbage. I said, you're going to get sick eating that. And fighters don't, you are not no fighter. He's like, I'm a fighter. I'm like, all right, well, if you're a fighter, you're going to show me that you're a fighter. And so at this point, I'm like, all right, well, you know, like, I think I got him hooked, and I may be manipulating him, but I am manipulating him in a positive way that is going to extend his life. And I'm like, wow, shit, man, I'm just going to do it. I'm like, you know, I'm going to just manipulate this little guy to where he's going to get healthy, and I'm going to help him out. All right. So I'm like, all right, you're going to be a fighter. All right. You're going to meet me here next Thursday, and we're going to start training. All right. I'm gonna get you in shape, but you need to eat like a fighter. And if I find out, if Karen, your caretaker, tells me you're not eating like a fighter, I'm not gonna train you. If I find out you're eating hot dogs, Cokes, and chips, we're done. He's like, no, I'm gonna eat like a fighter. And I was like, all right, well, let me give you some tips. I want you to eat some salads. I want you to eat some fish. I want you to eat some eggs. I want you to, this is going to be the main rule. No salt, no bread, no cheese. And I'm like, okay, what is the main rule? No tan, no bear, no cheese. And what do you drink? Water. And I was all, on Cokes? No, water. And I was all, and Gatorades? He's like, yeah, Gatorades. I like Gatorades. I like Powerade. I'm like, no, only water. All right. So I do this with him. We over the course of a year, man, the guy loses all the weight, and I mean, he ends up being a very talented human being, man. And, you know, he's picking up these techniques that I'm showing him. He's picking it up, and he's making strides, man. I mean, like, the guy starts running and jogging, and he has a little gym. His dad puts up a gym at his house, and the guy, he really transforms himself, and he just becomes this person in the gym that everybody loves, and including myself. And the guy's life was changed, and this is that same day. Okay, so listen, this is that same day that, you know, 20 minutes gone by. I'm like, Isaac, I was like, I got my fight. I was like, I got to train for my fight. I can't train you all day. He's like, he looks at me, goes like this. He goes, I have my fight. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, I got my fight too. I got a train. I'm like, all right. Well, we're done for the day. All right. If you want to train, you can go run around the mat, go do some jogging. But I'm just like, he's like, oh, I'm done too. He's I'm done too. And I was like, all right. I see his tattoo. He gets this tattoo of a cross on his forearm. He got this tattoo on his forearm, and it's a cross, and in the middle of the cross it says mom. So I'm like, oh, you got a cross tattoo. I was like, that's dope. I got a cross tattoo too. Check out my cross tattoo. I was like, look at this. I was like, look, we're like brothers. We got cross tattoos. That's so cool. And he's like, yeah. He did. My mom died. I'm like, oh man. I didn't even know that when a Down syndrome person loses their parent, it like really affects them like heavy. Like they're someone never the same, and like they stay heartbroken for the rest of their lives. It's like it's some heavy stuff. It's like they're not like regular humans. You know, like they're different. They're special. And so I'm like, man, I didn't even know this at the time. I was like, oh man. I was like, your mom, man, she's and he's like, my mom, she gonna watch me fight. He goes, my mom gonna watch me fight. And I'm like, oh man. I'm like, dang. I was like, this is getting heavy. And I'm like, I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm like, all right. I'm not gonna shed a tear today. I'm like, but it's getting heavy. Right. And so I'm like, all right. I'm like, okay, we're gonna start training then, okay? We're gonna start training, yeah. And he's like, I'm gonna fight you. He said, I'm gonna fight you, Diego. I'm gonna fight you. And I'm just playing with him. I'm like, whoa. And I didn't even know his name was Isaac at this time. This is the first day we met. And I'm like, what's your name? And he's like, my name's Sherman. Sherman. I'm like. All right, well, and because he's a fan of the Seahawks, and I guess they got the guy named Sherman, right. And so he liked that name, so he called himself Sherman. I'm like, all right, well, now your fight name is the Shermanator. I was like, you're the Shermanator. I was like, that's gonna be your fight name, all right? Because you know I'm Diego, and I'm Nightmare, I'm Lionheart. Like, then you'll be the Shermanator. All right, he's like, yeah, I like that. I'm a Shermanator. Okay, so all this goes on for a year. I'm training him for a year, and then you know, they had the Jackson Wink promotion has their fights where we have amateur fights and usually a couple pro fights, and we have a cage in the casino and everything, and it was just it could happen. you know, and this was his dream. And his dream was to, for him to fight for his mom, so his mom in heaven could see him fight. And that was this guy's dream. Like, you know, my dream is to become the UFC welterweight champion of the world. Well, this is just another man, you know, who hasn't been dealt the cards of a normal human being, and but he still got a dream. And so if I could be a part of making a dream come true, why not? You know, why not? It's still special. It's still a dream. And if you make a person's dream come true, well, you know what? This little Down syndrome guy who might not have that much to live for, maybe going to the batting cages, maybe going to art class, you know, little things to get excited about here or there. Well, now he has a dream and he can fulfill his dream, and I'm going to be a part of it. So, you know, I talked to the people who run the promotion, the fight promotion for Jackson Wink, and we were able to make it happen.
It's amazing.
And listen to this. Then I go and I fight Matt Brown. I get hit in the back of the head with an elbow. I get knocked out. I come back. The fight is the next weekend. Like, dude, I literally could have been taking some rest. Like, you know, I could have, you know, no, I freaking made this shit happen.
Stuff
happened. Yeah, yeah.
Stuff happened.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, FCC. Okay. Yeah, I made this poop happen.
There you go.
All right. Well, so I made it happen. And, you know, and it was a beautiful thing. And he had his moment. You know, he had his moment, and it was a great thing to be a part of. And you know, I love the little guy still, and you know, he's still around, he's still in the gym.
That's what makes legacies, honestly. Things like that, you know, that people may or may not know about. I didn't know about it until just a couple of days ago when I knew you were coming on the show. I think that sets you apart, you know, from many other people. So I want to compliment you. And thank you.
You know, a lot of people. Always tell me, you know, like, yeah, that was one of your greatest fights, and that's one of the things that people always talking about.
Well, you know, a lot of times, and I've been covering this sport probably longer than anybody in the country. UFC 11 was the first one I covered professionally in the media, and you know, MMA fighters and fighters in general get this bad rap, you know, of they're fighters, they're not human beings, they don't have hearts, they don't have stuff like that, and this proves differently. You know, so definitely, you know, good stuff. Now, I also saw that back in the day that you worked at UPS.
Mm-hmm.
I did for one day. What did you do at UPS?
I started. I worked on the twilight. So I worked from 5:15 to about 10:30.
Emptying the trucks.
Unloading trucks.
That's what I did too.
Yeah, one day. See, this job was good for me. Well, I thought it was good for me because I was like, I get insurance. That was good, you know, just to have insurance. If you're a fighter, you know, you probably might want to get some insurance.
Sure.
And so, it's a good thing to so, have. But listen to this schedule, man. I would wake up, go straight to the gym, Jackson's, do my training. Some days I would wake up, go to yoga. Wake up, go to yoga, go to Jackson's. After Jackson's, like maybe get a sandwich in and a protein shake. Go to the gym, lift weights. You know, at least get like 3-4 sets in. You know, try to get my sets in. You know, like body part bodybuilding type lifting. You know, then get another sandwich, another protein shake. Then I cruise across town, work twilight, work. Unloading boxes, man. This is hard work, man. It was hard work. It was conditioning, and
45 minutes to empty the whole truck, right?
Dude, it was pressure. It was time. Yeah, yeah, it was time. Yeah, it was pressure. And so we would do that, and then after that, I get out, hang out with the United Pot Smokers, hang out in the parking lot, go home, eat, repeat. That was my training schedule for a year. And I did it for a year because I was like, I'm going to do this for 1 year. Although this sucks. I was like, this is the worst. I mean, come wintertime, those trucks were so cold, man. There ain't no heaters in those trucks.
Right.
You come summertime, there ain't no air conditioning in them trucks in New Mexico, man. You lucky if you get a fan. And so it was a nightmare. But, you know, finally, I got injured throwing a box, and I was like, that was it. I was like, not throwing a box, but placing a box.
Yeah. I'm sure they taught you the same way they did me on how you empty them, and you don't take from the top. You take from the bottom, and then they all kind of dribble down.
There's a lot of different ways, you know, there's a lot of different ways, different techniques.
Crazy, crazy stuff. And the reason I always
that's a good question.
And I always say this. I asked one fighter this, and I don't remember who the fighter was, but they said that they fought Dennis Seaver, who's German. And the corner's talking German. And he said for about 5 or 6 seconds, they're thinking of the movie Inglourious Bastard. Is that what the movie's called? So, like, he's watching this movie in the middle of a fist fight. So is anything crazy? Have you ever drifted? Has anything like that ever happened? The way you fight, I don't know if you have time to drift or anything, right?
No. I think the craziest thing that probably ever happened is just the reactions. It's not really my mind wandering, but more the reactions when I throw the Dirty Sanchez on someone. You know what the Dirty Sanchez is? You know what the Dirty Sanchez is?
I know what A is. I don't know what yours is. But.
My Dirty Sanchez is a wrestling technique. It's called checking the oil. But the Dirty Sanchez is just checking the oil, but it's just a little more violent, you know. Just some of these Brazilians, they didn't do wrestling. I think it was Paulo Thiago. You know, like, man, he got on the single leg on me, and I threw that Dirty Sanchez hand. What? I seen his face go like, grr. I took his virginity card. He let go of that leg real quick.
So that was it. Tough winner won. First tough winner, what, 15? Is it like us older guys against a younger guy? Is that what this is going to be Saturday?
Oh, no.
And you're not old.
No. Yeah, the last two guys are younger than Chiesa. So, you know, he's got more experience, and he's got more experience than the last two guys. But it ain't an age thing. It's just a fight thing. You know, like, he's got what he got. I got what I got. We're going in there to do what we do. And, you know, at the end of the day, Michael Chiesa, he wanted this fight, all right? Me and him, we had a pretty good relationship, you know, to where we hang out at the athlete retreat, sat down, had a good conversation, talked like human beings. And I never thought he had intentions on fighting me or anything, because he was like telling me how he liked Jackson, he liked Winkle John, and he... I think about going out there, and I didn't never thought about it like anything other than that. So after that conversation, you know, when he'd have a fight, I send him a little, you know, motivational, you know, I'm a personal motivator, you know, I'm a motivational speaker. So anytime I get a chance to motivate any human being in my path, I do. And so, like, I send them, you know, all the time to fighters that I connect with, that I relate with, that I like, you know. And so, you know, I always send them good motivation, you know, like, you know, good luck and this, that, you know, and good fight, you know, this, that. So we had a communication, you know, on social media. Me and him, we would conversate a little. When Sean Shelby offered me the fight, Sean's like, you know, what do you think about Michael Chiesa? I'm like, wow, Sean, you know, to be honest with you, I'm gonna keep it real. Like, I like fighting guys that I don't like. So, like, why don't you give me the list? Give me the list of the guys that you got, because I'm looking to bring some violence, some terror, some carnage. I'm looking to break this dude's orbitals and just send him out on the stretcher. I'm not looking anything other than sending this man out on a stretcher. I don't want him to walk back to the back. I want him going on a stretcher, you know? And so He's like, all right. He's all right. Well, let me look on the list and da da da. I was like, I'll get back to you. Well, it turns out, you know, Michael Chiesa, you know, he wanted this fight, and that was the fight that Sean decided on. And so now here we go. He wants it. Now he gets it, and it's nothing more, nothing less. You know, it's just a situation where a man, optimistic man, has bit off more than he can chew. And now he's coming to realize that, and you know, now the fear is setting in, and he's realizing he ain't never been in a fight with someone like me. This is the real ship. This is the real ship right here, and it's selling. It's don't set sail.
The mast is up and it's going to sail. So can it turn on a dime like that? You know, where it went from you do like him to now. It's 180 degrees different.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. No, we met in LA. We talked, you know, he came up trying to be friends, you know, trying to be cool, trying to play that whole, we knew this was going to happen eventually. Like, no, I didn't. You signed the first, you signed the fight first, you know, like this is what it is. Like, the nightmare is real. And I done been in the hospital getting CT scans and getting my brain checked to make sure it wasn't bleeding. And you know, that's real. And I'm not in this sport to make friends. And I'm not in this sport to be back in the hospital. Because if you think about it, man, Nate Diaz said it right. It's kill or be killed. It really truly is. You can try to put sport on this. You could try to say, oh, this is the sport. This is a competition. And we are competitive athletes. That's a crock. Tell you this. This is the gladiator. You're trying to put your fist through their head. You're trying to put this elbow through their face. You're trying to put your knees. You're trying to snap an arm. You know, like, that's not friends, man.
Right.
That's not friends. You know, would you do that to any sane man? Would not do that to a friend. And I'm not a psychopath, so I'm not trying to do this to friends. So I'm not in this sport to make friends. I ain't friends with any of these guys. You know, if they want to be friends, we could be friends, not fight. But if you're going to sign to fight me, you ain't my friend no more. And that's up to you. But let me tell you this, Mickey Gall ain't calling. Oh, let's be buddies, Diego. You ain't hear nothing about Mickey Gall. You ain't hear who he's fighting next. You ain't hear nothing. What happened to him? You know, you ain't hear nothing about him, because the real Diego is back. The real nightmare is back. This isn't the lost Diego, the dream, the lion heart. This isn't the lost Diego Sanchez that didn't know, that had to go through what he had to go through to figure out who he is and what he was doing. This is the man who knows exactly what he is doing, who he is, why he's here, and where he's going.
How do we speed up to get to Saturday night? Because you have me motivated. I want to see this fight. I want to see you back in the octagon on Saturday.
Believe me, man. We are moving at light speed already. We got the galaxy and the universe, and it's already moving at a quantum speed. It can't go much faster. And that time that's been put in the gym, the time that's been put in a career, the time that's been put in the experiences, it all is a multitude of stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks of dominoes, man. And these dominoes, man, Saturday night, they're going to go, man. They're going to get momentum, man. And then Michael Chiesa is going to be the last little domino, man. And boom, it's going to explode, bro.
I got my new motivational speaker. I am excited. Diego, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you
for stopping by. We have a pair.
You the man. I appreciate it, man.
We also need to get your address. We're going to send you some 8-man. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate it.
And hopefully,
too.
Twitter can get this set so that I can tweet. And yes, I can tweet
yes,
to you.
Yes, tweet to me, man.
This was the best part of coming is finally being unblocked.
I'm gonna put my address on here, but I'm also gonna put my cell phone number so you can text me in case you can't get through on Twitter.
We will definitely do it. We're gonna go hit our last break of the afternoon. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Vinny LeCavalier, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Since our first store opened in 1969 to our latest acquisition, Mr. Car Wash has always centered on people and bringing them the best service and shine in the car wash industry.
Through continuous research and development, Mr. Car Wash champions the newest technology and services to make your car wash experience better for your vehicle and the environment.
With locations from sea to shining sea, go to MrCarWash.com for more details.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Hello, I am Bryna Marcus with the Boulder City Chamber and Flightlines. Flightlines is a zip line system out in the desert. We fly over the Mojave at about 60 miles an hour. You cover about 1.5 miles, starting from the top of Red Mountain and making your way down to the base. Complimentary transportation is available from the Strip. We look forward to seeing everybody out to fly with us at Flightlines Bootleg Canyon. And make sure you have a chance to spend some time in beautiful Boulder City and check out all the amazing businesses, antique shops, and fun eateries. Thank you from the Boulder City Chamber of Commerce.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is Mike Allstott, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Coming to you live from New York, getting ready to shut it down. And I'll tell you what, I am so motivated right now. That could have been one of my favorite segments in 30-some years of being on the air, finally getting the opportunity to sit down with Diego Sanchez, breaking bread, per se, and now I can follow him on Twitter. How does it get any better than that?
I wish you would ask him about the nightmare. You know, do you think, like, MMA fighters or fighters should retire names like they do in the NFL, retire jerseys and numbers?
Well, no.
Like, can there only be one Hall of Fame nightmare?
Well, you can't do that because, first of all, you don't trademark it. And I'm sure somebody already has trademarked a lot of these names. So, no, I get what you're saying. There are certain ones that you never want to see again or hear again or whatever.
Like the Iceman. Like, who else could be the Iceman other than Chuck Liddell?
Well, I'm sure that there are, I'm sure there are some. Sure there are.
True.
Now, whenever you get me so riled up and I get so upset, I'm calling Diego.
Why?
Because Diego can talk me off. He can get me off the bridge that you put me on.
I thought you were going to have him hurt me. I was like, oh, wow, what'd I do? What did I do?
No, I definitely wouldn't do that. I'm just saying that was cool. I don't know how else to say it. It was definitely cool. I'm looking forward to having him on again. That could be probably one of the longest interviews I've ever done as well.
Definitely the longest, you know, and I think the cool story, you know, with the Shermanator.
That's the whole thing. Awesome. That story itself, I mean, you know, we're all living this life. We're all moving forward in life and, you know, doing our things and stuff. But for him to stop and for him to take the time that he did, you know, whether it's a handicapped child or not, and he's not, it wasn't a child, obviously, but that changes, and it should change people's opinion of any human being, you know, for doing something like that. All right, without further ado, and before we got to move some stuff so I can get you in, slide the chair over just a little so I can do this, because Dave Manley, back on the program, live and in person. What's up?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Randy. Randy, I just got to tell you, I am so thankful right now that I came 10 minutes early to hear the last part of that Diego Sanchez interview. I am pumped. I couldn't be more pumped for a fight. I can't even remember.
You know, the reason that I do the interviews and the reason that I do the thing I do is because I want people to get to know these athletes, these fighters, you as a business owner. It's not, and I think I've said this to you, yeah, you make bobbleheads, but they're stories.
Yeah.
You know, Diego has been known as a nightmare. He's been known as a lunatic. He's been known about all these things. But you are a handicapped young man.
No.
And, you know, I'll send you the listen. Video. Yeah, it's tremendous. And like I told him, that's legacies.
Right.
That's your legacy, not his record. Not that, and I didn't even bring up the fact that this will probably be a fight of the night. And if it is, he will now break the record for bonuses.
Wow.
It's what you do outside of that. And for him to, I'm motivated. I'll tell you what.
Man, I am so pumped up, man. I mean, geez Louise, to see it live firsthand. And man, I am so thankful that I get to do this, Randy. I mean, I was thinking on the drive here right now. And by the way, my name's Dave Manley. For those of you guys who know.
Okay. I said your name when you first came on.
Sorry, I make bobbleheads. Big bobbleheads out of MMA fighters. I started this journey. I had the idea about 3 years ago. 2 years ago was during fight week. I was on the strip. I was begging, pleading, doing whatever I could to meet a fighter to possibly say, hey, are you interested in a bobblehead? A year ago today, I had my first signing, and it was with Dan Henderson and Chuck Liddell. And it's since then, it has just been a dream come true. And now I'm sitting here with Randy Harris on the show, and it's great. I just came from seeing Cowboy Cerrone, and I hung out with him in his RV. I'm living the dream. And it just keeps continuing on and on.
And it's funny, as you said that, we've talked to you numerous times. You've told the story and, you know, how a lot of fighters have, you know, not been interested. Mm-hmm. And now a guy like Diego Sanchez, who has been around this game for a long, long time, I just saw what he said.
Yeah.
Well, I saw what he did and then I heard what he said.
Yeah.
And that means we're coming full circle.
Yeah.
That means that these guys are now interested, which is awesome.
Randy.
These really aren't bobbleheads, though. I've said that to you from the very beginning.
They're not. Thank you.
And we've talked about it. They're figurines that head might bobble.
Yeah.
You know, these aren't these, you know, $9.99 things you get at the dollar store.
No, Randy. And, you know, my whole purpose in doing this is, you know, I wanted to not only take it to another level, but I wanted to, as lame as this sounds, I wanted to give back to these fighters. They give so much to us, man. You know, they close that cage door. They're willing to die in there. And when it comes to artwork,
I disagree. Well, that's one of my pet peeves. Okay. They're not willing to. I think they know they could.
Yeah. Okay.
But they're not going to go in there and say, come kill me. You know,
sure.
Except for the guy who just left.
Yeah. We're not willing to die, I guess, when we take a flight, you know, cross country, whatever. Right. I guess, yeah. Right. You know, we're not going there. Okay, I'm willing to die. But, you know, what I was getting at was I wanted to put so much art and so much time and so much craftsmanship and creativity in these things. I wanted to go over the top because bobbleheads haven't changed for 50 years. It's a shame that LeBron bobblehead doesn't look anything like LeBron.
Right.
It's a shame.
Right.
These guys are the foundations for these institutions of the sports teams. And why can't we honor them? You know, and then why do the poses always have to look like crap? You know, such generic poses. I'm holding a basketball, holding a baseball, all the same thing. Why can't I memorialize the H-bomb or memorialize, you know, Cowboy or The Scream by Chuck Liddell? I'm so excited to get to know these guys and make them with these guys, you know, and I'm just happy that more and more people are saying yes, like Diego just got off the air and we talked. And, you know, I didn't even hit him up on the bobblehead, to be honest with you. I just wanted to tell him how much I appreciated him and how I think how he fights is an analogy for life. You get hit, you get dropped, but you know what? You muster every ounce of energy to come back and you punch back.
Right.
You know, and you fight back. And that's kind of like been my story with the bobbleheads, and it's everyone's story with life, and you got to keep fighting. And God, I'm so excited.
And you are continuing to fight, and I know that you just had another release not too long ago.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk about that one.
Yeah, so it's Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and I'm
looking forward to seeing what it looks like.
Hey, why haven't you even seen it? Why don't you open up? This one's for you, Randy. This one's special for you.
I've always told you, as awesome as these figurines are, better known as bobbleheads, I don't understand what you do with the box. Like, I don't want to take anything. I display the box just as much as I display the bobblehead.
Yeah, thank you, Randy. Thank you. And while you're opening that, I'll just tell everyone that, you know, the box, everyone usually just buys something. The box is just a throwaway item. It's just a container that holds the thing that is important.
And it looks just like her.
Thank you. Thank you. I spent a lot of time on the fingers on this one because you know how she's known, you know, to make the number one as she's circling the ring before the fight. You know, I wanted to kind of capture that attitude and capture that confidence with this bobblehead. And, you know, people, you haven't seen my bobbleheads.
I was going to say, you don't have any problems with that.
Thank you. It's just such a whole new concept, and I spend a lot of time trying to capture an emotion. Anyway, I was saying something about the box was one of the great things about these bobbleheads, Dave Manley's idea of what a good bobblehead would look like or what a great Joanna Jędrzejczyk bobblehead would look like. I work with the fighter step by step, even with the box design.
What was harder for you to do? To make the Joanna bobblehead or to learn how to pronounce her name, which was more difficult.
Yeah, her name is really difficult to pronounce, isn't it? But, you know, I have been such a fan of hers, Randy, for so long. I'm not kidding. You know, I'm in my mid-40s. I shouldn't have posters of fighters in my office, but I do have a poster
of Joanna. Just the poster of Farrah Fawcett.
Right.
That's really what you do. Yeah.
Right. Pam Anderson. But, you know, I have posters of my favorite UFC athletes or MMA athletes in my office, and Joanna is front and center. So when she reached out and said that she wanted to go forward with a bobblehead, I was absolutely floored. It's a dream come true.
Sure.
You know, one quick story about Joanna that I find to be awesome is that 2 years ago during MMA, during fight week, I waited in line for 3 hours. And I know, Randy, one of the episodes you talked about how you waited in line for 3 hours for your daughter for something. I waited in line for 3 hours, Randy. It was 115 degrees. I was sweating. I mean, I was miserable just to meet Joanna, to show her a prototype of a bobblehead that I made and to ask her if she would be interested in doing it. And I showed her and she was like, oh yeah, that's cool. But it was, you know, it's kind of a brush off. It's a little bit of a cattle call. I never heard from her again, but you know, I did it. And I'm paying my dues, cutting my teeth, waiting in line. So when she reached out like a year and a half later or so, man, it's a dream come true. So I'm just so blessed and lucky to be making these.
Well, and I think the athletes are just as excited to have it made of them. You know, a lot of times, you know, you can act, you know, rooty tooty, fresh and fruity.
Yeah.
And then you go back to your house or you go back to your hotel or your apartment or whatever. And you start thinking, you know, when you were a kid you might have collected a bobblehead or you might have put a poster on the wall. And now you start thinking, hey, that'd be pretty cool. And again, and I'm not trying to blow smoke and stuff. these are not your normal bobbleheads.
Right.
You know, these, like you said, these look like, I have seen every one of yours.
Thank you.
If you were to show me the next 10 that you make, I'll bet you that I'll be able to tell you who each one of those people are. Where I used to collect bobbleheads. Mm-hmm. I used to have 300 bobbleheads.
What? I didn't know that.
And I would put on the base, kind of like an autograph, mm-hmm. you'd have to put in the cube who just signed it.
Right.
Or whose bobblehead it is, because if you take it out of the box, now you have no idea.
Right.
You don't have that problem. So I can see these athletes now saying, you know what? You've proven yourself. You've made a few of these. Every single one looks awesome. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what, Randy? It's funny that you say that because I thought that in the beginning. And man, was I surprised how many people would see my prototype and would just give me a hard no. They just weren't interested. And I couldn't believe it. You know, I'm a guy who wants to do artwork and design something beautiful for you, an athlete. And they weren't interested. I still to this day get no's. Even after they've seen everything that I've released, and after I bring them and I show them how I'm even getting better at making them, and I show them like my next two or three that I'm working on, I still get hard no's. Yeah. I don't get it.
Oh, wow.
I don't get it, and I will never get it.
Right.
But the people that do say yes, Randy, I got to tell you, I give it 100% for sure. Them, man. It takes a lot of trust to give the green light to sure. someone that they don't know. That's coming to them, presenting them with something. And, you know, let's be honest, I'm going to turn around and sell it, you know, so they don't know me.
Right.
When they say yes to me, man, I give it everything I got. And I'm glad that the fans and the fighters especially appreciate the time and craftsmanship I put in.
I know we only have a couple minutes yeah. before the end of the show, but talk about a national audience. A lot of people are coming in today, tomorrow, the next couple of days for International Fight Week. You have a couple events going on, I believe.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Randy. I have two different signings. One signing is Friday. It's going to be so much fun. It's at Blondie Sports Bar in Miracle Mile. We're going to have drink specials, food specials, all that. But more importantly, we're going to have Cowboy Cerrone from 5 to 6:30. Cowboy doesn't do a ton of signings, so to have him there is going to be great. And we're raising money for the Cowboy Cerrone Kids Camp, which is awesome. Talking about Diego doing charity. Cowboy's also doing charity, raising money so kids from all over the country can come to his camp for free. And I'm happy to be part of it, but we're going to be raffling off some amazing prizes. Like I said, I just came from him. And then from 6 to 7:30, we're going to have Bruce Buffer, and he's, you know, we have a PA system, and hopefully he gets on the mic. And
I'm not sure
stuff.
You need the PA system.
I know. And then the very next day, Saturday, the day of the fight from 11 to 12, we have Brian Ortega at the Las Vegas Fight Shop. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm for all the girls out there. For Brian, and then right after Brian from 1 to 3, we're going to have Cowboy Cerrone again, and again, we're going to be giving away. Oh, you know what? Cowboy actually just told me that he's got two tickets to the UFC 239 event given to him by Dana White, and we're going to raffle them off.
Oh, wow. Very
yeah,
cool.
Huge.
Is there a way that people that may not be coming in, that they can get involved, whether yes. through your website or send, you know, donations directly to Cowboys?
Yes. So, you know, this was kind of a rush job, right? We just kind of thought, let's just try to do some charity work. So we don't have like a big solid landing page, but if you go to MMABobblehead.com, MMA Bobblehead on Instagram, in my bio, you can click the link in there and, you know, you can get all the information. If you just want to drop $5-$10 in the bucket and, you know, just donate, that'd be awesome. We're also doing an auction. Randy, I got to tell you about this auction before we get off the air, because Cowboy is giving away a BMF Ranch experience for two, which means that if Cowboy's going to get you over to the BMF Ranch, you get to spend Saturday and Sunday with Cowboy Cerrone. You get to do boating, shooting guns. He's going to teach you martial arts, dirt bike riding, campfire. Wow. Unbelievable. He's never done this before. Wow. And he's taken the winner, the highest bidder for this experience. And I'll tell you what, Randy, right now the bid's at like $1,000. I mean, you know what? It's for two. So if I was a huge Cowboy fan, and
you don't even have to be a huge Cowboy fan.
Right?
This is an opportunity to do something that Matt, get a grand together, because we're going to be bidding on this. It's just an opportunity to go do something extremely, extremely cool. All right, we only have about 90 seconds
left.
Yeah,
no problem.
Joanna Bobblehead now available on your website. Is it too soon? What's coming up? What are you working on? Or is that top?
Yeah. Secret? So I can't give you the names on who I'm working on, but I have two apps. Absolute legends that I'm working on, household names. I mean, the top one percenters that I'm working on currently right now. I cannot wait to let the world know. But you can check out all my bobbleheads at MMABobblehead.com. And I'm sold out of all the autographed bobbleheads I have, except for Cowboy. I have a few Cowboy autographs left. But just go check them out. Even if you don't pick up a bobblehead, just, you know, look at the work that I'm doing and how I'm kind of trying to change the bobblehead look and feel for all sports. You know, if anyone wants to do this for any other sport.
I want to thank all of our guests for stopping by. Obviously, always want to thank 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone for hooking it up, you know, getting us out here. Matt, anything in closing?
Just waiting on my Naked Pizza Man bobblehead.
I made an agreement with Dave. I said, never make that bobblehead, and you're always welcome to come on the program.
I'm a one percenter, baby.
He wants to continue. You want to continue coming on the show, right?
I can't believe that Naked Pizza Man was in my ear lobes this entire time, and I didn't even know it. Naked Pizza Man. I love the Naked Pizza Man.
I always got your back, Dave. I'm always here.
International Fight Week. A lot of things still to go. Hit me up on Twitter, at Knockout Radio.
At Naked Pizza Man 1.
And MMABobblehead.com.
There you have it. See everybody next week. Watching every move on her
face. She said, look, what's your game? 8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.